Chapter 9. The Secret Revealed. He motioned for her to let him pass. She would not move. Suddenly, she threw her arms around his neck. She kissed him passionately. She whispered to him, "Oh, Ernest, forgive me. Could I have asked you to marry me for money if I had not taken refuge in an appearance different from my own?" When he had sufficiently recovered to think, he pushed her away from him. "Is there an end to the act of lying to me now?" he asked sternly. "Am I to trust you in your new character?" "You are not to be harder on me than I deserve," she answered gently. "Did you ever hear of an actress named Miss Max?" He began to understand. "Forgive me if I spoke harshly," he said. "You have put me to a severe trial." She burst into tears. "I am sorry," she whispered. "Love is my only excuse." From that moment, she had won his forgiveness. He took her hand. He made her sit by him. "Yes," he said, "I have heard of Miss Max. I have heard of her wonderful powers of acting. I have always regretted not having seen her while she was on the stage." "Did you hear anything more of her, Ernest?" "Yes, I heard that she rarely drew attention to herself. She was a model of good conduct. She had also given up her occupation at the height of her success to marry an old man." "Will you come with me to my room?" she asked. "I have something there which I wish to show you." It was the copy of her husband's will. "Read the lines starting from the top of the page, Ernest. Let my dead husband speak for me." The lines ran as follows. "My motive in marrying Miss Max must be stated in this place, in justice to her. And, I will venture to add, in justice to myself. I felt the deepest sympathy for her position. She was without father, mother, or friends. She was one of the poor abandoned children whom the charity of the Foundling Hospital provides with a home. Her life on the stage was the life of a woman with high moral standards. All the same, she had been treated cruelly by individuals with little or no moral principles. They saw her as an object of envy. I offered her a home. I offered her the protection of a father on the only terms which the world would recognize as worthy of us, marriage. My experience of her since our marriage has been the experience of constant good, sweetness, and sound sense. She has behaved with such fine personal qualities in such a trying position that I wish her, even in this life, to have her reward. For this reason, I urge her to make a second marriage. It should not be a mere formality. I strongly believe that she will choose well and wisely. She will make the happiness of a man who is worthy of her. As wife and mother, she will set an example of great value in the community that she occupies. In proof of the genuine honesty with which I sing her praises of moral standards, I add to my will the passage that follows." The passage concerning her inheritance followed. It was the passage which Ernest already knew well. "Will you now believe that I never loved until I saw your face for the first time?" said his wife. "I had no experience to place me on my guard against the fascination. The stupidity, some people might call it, which possesses a woman when all her heart is given to a man. Don't hate me, my dear. Remember that I had to save you from shame and destitution. Besides, my old stage memories tempted me. I had acted in a play in which the heroine did what I have done. However, it didn't end with me as it did with her in the story. She had great joy in the success of her ability to change her appearance. Yet, I have known uncomfortable hours of doubt and shame since our marriage. When I went to meet you in my own person at the gallery, oh, what relief! What joy I felt when I saw how you admired me! It was not because I could no longer carry on appearing as someone else. No, my love, I hurried to tell the secret because I could no longer bear the shame of fooling you. Ah, that witness against me! I can't bear even to look at it." She suddenly left him. The drawer that she had opened to take out the copy of the will also contained the wig which she had abandoned. It had only at that moment attracted her notice. She took hold of it. Then she turned toward the fireplace. Ernest took it from her before she could destroy it. "Give it to me," he said. "Why?" He pulled her gently into his arms and answered, "I must not forget my old wife."